The good news is there isn't that much out there. There's some pretty cool interviews, but there isn't that much out there, so this is good. But I do know some things. I know that, and was it 2011 that you went from NYC to Austin?
Yes.
Okay, so I got that right. And you were in another band called Cruel Black Back, Black Dove. Not easy to say. You see, now that's why
that's really
you had to change
say.
It right there.
Yeah.
Because no, I talk for a part of my living, and I can't even say Cruel Black Dove.
Yeah, nobody ever understood what I was saying either. They would always think I was saying Cool Black Dove.
Well, that's okay, too.
No.
It's not cool.
It's not that cool.
It's not so cool.
Telling people that you're cool means you're automatically not cool.
That is true. Yes, exactly. But in any case, you left because you wanted to write a lot more. And in that band, you were mainly, you weren't doing.
I was half of the writing.
Were you half of the writing?
Yeah, but I wasn't like making the sound and kind of like ultimate decisions, I would say.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I know. But I like revisionist history.
Okay.
So fill in some blanks. And we'll get to the Austin scene and we'll get to all that. We'll get there.
Okay.
But fill in a couple of blanks that are really, that are going to kind of put something together for people to start out. And it can be, by the way, you're allowed to lie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, lying's okay. There's no rules.
I'm
lying's okay.
Can I lie about where I was born, make it a little more exotic?
Yeah, go ahead.
Really? Stop, really?
Yeah, where were you born?
Go Greece. Ahead.
Greece.
Well, my father's Greek, so.
So wait, you mean with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John?
Is John Travolta Greek?
No, that was the movie Greece.
Oh, no.
See, if you're going to lie, then I get to mess with you.
Oh, okay.
Self-recorded. So self-recorded means mostly in the box, you recorded it, but then you had two mixers, correct?
Yes. I recorded it at home, and I recorded it in a closet, and I...
Now, was that Austin? Were you in Austin
that was,
already?
No, half in New York, half in Austin.
Half
yeah.
in New York. So two closets.
Two closets. Yeah, two closets.
Which closet was a cooler closet? Because New York, you had a smaller closet.
Yeah, the Austin closet's really good.
Because New York, the whole apartment is usually...
Basically a
unless
closet.
You have a lot of money, the whole apartment's a closet.
Yeah, kind of. So the better closet was the Austin closet, for sure.
And were you completely self-taught? Did you use Ableton? Did you use Pro Tools? Did you use... We're going to get geeky for
okay.
a second.
I used Logic, and I can't say I was completely self-taught. My former bandmate was an engineer, and so he taught me a lot of it.
Got it. But you literally did all of it in the box.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't do it anywhere at a studio anywhere.
Okay. So you're telling me that even Dream Song?
Yeah.
Really?
A tambourine by hand on a microphone.
Wow.
Yeah, totally.
Because Dream Song sounds a little different than the others
yeah,
in some
no,
ways.
It,
purposefully,
guitar
I'm
plugged
sure.
in. Yeah. I mean, it was, well, that wasn't done like with like pad, with a, it was kind of done in an open space with like there wasn't any deadening of the space for that one. It got named in, I want to say, like the beginning of it was like New York, and then I probably decided, got really decisive about it in Austin.
So when you were recording this puppy, you knew it was a Feathers record already, and you had a
oh,
vision
yeah.
of, and you had a vision of what that was going to be.
Yeah, it started to form pretty early. Like, it started to form while I was in Cruel Black Dove.
And then, so you have this thing, mm-hmm. and you record it. And then how did you choose your mixers? Because that was already in Austin, right?
Well, like a lot of DIY projects, you kind of just start reaching out to your friends.
Right.
So Steve DiPaolo was a friend of my boyfriend's. And he mostly does a lot of commercial work. You can actually tell which ones he did because they sound like kind of radio ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two that I had Brian Foote do, he kind of dirtied them up a little bit more. And
yep,
they're like a
yep.
little bit like, they're not as vibrant and radio friendly, but I don't think he cares because
but they have all, but they all have a lot of guts. There's all a lot of bottom. To
yeah.
them.
I think they
it
do.
It rattled. I mean, I have good speakers in my car and it tests them.
Yeah. I like that.
So it's club ready too.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so do I. I'm all for bass.
It's got to have a little,
if it sounds
dirt.
Good, but not
a little
the,
dirt,
but not the, well, but there's dirt. And then there's what everybody goes to Detroit to get these days. And this is not that
yeah,
record.
Okay, no.
Because
like
your
that.
Vocals.
It's polished dirt.
Well, yeah, because yeah. your vocals.
It's swagger.
Then you recruited friends for yeah. the live show, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of an interesting thing because you had to split up the sounds and figure out how to take what was mostly in the box.
Yeah.
And do it live.
No, for sure. It's been evolving. It's been very, it's been just constantly different for every tour, actually. In the beginning. Well, I reached out to, I should say, like, I should get to the beginning of it. Like, I reached out to people I knew in Austin. I didn't know very many people. I knew two girls through boys from Voxtrot, the band Voxtrot. And I knew another one from Waiting Tables. So, well, we started off with everyone rotating on instruments because everyone wanted to play something else. And since they were all kind of being shown the parts at that point, it was a free-for-all. I mean, everybody was had some experience playing like at least one or two instruments. So so we started off rotating everyone on drums and bass and guitar. And then we realized that with shifting schedules, like one of the bandmates is in Ringo Death Star.
Right.
And so she tours a lot with them.
Right.
So when we were taking her out of the mix and she was playing bass, it was all of a sudden like, what are we supposed to, you know, like we have to start over again. Everybody's got to learn new parts. So so we started to like solidify roles a bit. And we kind of gave the guitar, which is more optional in our live set or ornamental, like to her, because she, you know, she could pop in when she was available and she could jump out when she wasn't.
So obviously you're not a guitar band, like 80% of the band.
No, no. In fact, I'm playing guitar tonight. And I'm definitely not a strong guitar player. I would say that I'm good enough to record parts, but playing with a guitar on my body while I sing is still pretty new to me live.
And it also brings the record alive in a very different sort of way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I like the fullness of guitar. In fact, I'd like this next record that I'm working on to have a lot more of it.
This happens, and next thing you know, you're at South by Southwest. Now, how much touring had you really done before you got there?
We had done a good amount. We've definitely played a lot of shows before that. We did the South by before that.
You did, okay.
Yeah,
but there was
did.
No record at that point.
No, but the record was in existence. The record was a bit,
record's
like,
been in existence for a while.
For a while. It was just one of those things where it was worked on for so long that it didn't matter if we held it for another year because we wanted to make sure that some people paid attention as opposed to just dropping it.
You ain't got those 100 million, gazillion, quadrillion Twitter, Facebook thingies
right.
yet. But you've got a lot of press. There's a lot of buzz. I like to watch crowds.
Mm-hmm.
And this crowd obviously knew Land of the Innocent inside and out. But you didn't really, I could tell that you didn't really care whether they knew the songs or not. Because what you know, or if you don't know this, I'll tell you, is the songs provide because they're great pop songs. And pop is a positive thing to me.
Pop's a positive thing to me too.
You know, when yeah. I say pop, the catalog of what is a great song. So these songs all provide, and even if you haven't heard them, you can kind of play them and people think they have.
Maybe. That's awesome. I like that.
But
pop is a good thing to me. I want to sing to everyone.
Suddenly you're at this Depeche thing,
mm-hmm.
and you're thinking, wait a minute, our record isn't even out yet.
Uh-huh.
That must have been an interesting place to be in.
Yeah, it was. It was a great place to be in, though. That was, I would say South By was like definitely a real highlight for me because I knew that it was a good South By for us and we had some really great shows and we were like, people were kind of batting for us, you know, like you could tell that people were batting for us. Martin Gore apparently picked us out of the short list for that slot, which, you know, it's just one slot, but it meant something to me that we were on their radar, you know.
Yeah.
This is like
yeah.
an idol. So it was awesome. There's
okay.
nothing.
So now I get evil for a second.
Okay,
put on my full announcer
okay.
voice. I've got a couple of these.
Let's do it.
Wearing all the right things, striking all the right poses, moving in the right circles. I've got the music pretty right too. Says Glamour UK.
Right? Yeah.
So
that's really funny.
Let's go down the all
each one of this?
No. No. We don't want to go down all we don't have.
I'm actually a total hermit, so I don't know about their moving in the right circles.
I know. But here's the thing. Because when I interview an all-girl band, the first thing that I pay attention to is that they don't, and even Icona Pop, who I talk to, they had a producer.
Mm-hmm.
But they're their own human beings in a big way.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's make sure that we clear up the Glamour UK thing by letting people know that it ain't about the right look, but
right.
yeah, that don't hurt.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, if you're really gross on stage, that just doesn't, you know, leave that to Iggy Pop. He can get away with that at his age.
Yeah, honestly, okay, this is like a really great question. I like the opportunity to talk about it because I feel like it actually can hurt you a lot of the time if you are, like, people automatically thought like, oh, these people have this and this going for them, or this looks like it was put together. Like, I saw comments like that, like, in reviews, like, oh, they totally have, like, they must have, like, a label behind them, like, putting this all together, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. We are, like, staying on couches. We are, you know, like, everything I've done has been the, you know, the snowball effect of, like, years of, like, you know, making music. So there's that. So we've never had any sort of, like, backing at all or any Svengali at all. The choice to use the people that are in my band was kind of just mostly convenience and, like, finding people who were, like, really like-minded, you know? And I like female vocals a ton, so that worked out. I really like to layer harmonies, so that's why I did that. I honestly think that I had some initial thoughts when we started the band. I really started to worry that people would put us in that like fashion blog category, or you know, that we'd be kind of like a flash in the pan because of that. Like, there are like many, many bands popping up, all female bands popping up. And I just didn't want to be a fad. And I knew that it would look gimmicky. And especially if you take a look at the people who play in my band, I'm not counting myself necessarily, but like, they're really attractive late women, sure, you know? And
absolutely.
But it's not my fault. Austin is just breeds attractive women.
Texas has a lot of attractive women. Yeah. It just does.
You kind of can't avoid it. And I had to think about it. And I remember thinking, this could really be something that could shape this in the wrong way. But then I just decided, fuck it, really. Like, I just was like, fuck anyone who wants to judge me and my band because of the way we look. And a lot of people did. We were looked at by some record labels, like indie ones. And I think that, I won't name any names, but like, I, you know, had some recon and like, and I heard that one person said too many babes, like, you know, just like it was a bad thing and that nobody would take us seriously because of that. And I just thought, fuck that guy. Like nobody can help the way they look. And like,
A&R guys say too many babes.
And should we look like, you know, for an indie label, and should we change the way we look? Should we mask the way we look to make it better for the indie world? No. Should we play it up sexually for the, you know, for the mainstream, like, you know, big labels? No, we should just be ourselves. And if it works for some people, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Okay. Let's talk business. So we know that the money in this business is not made selling records.
Mm-hmm.
So
and shows. Merchandise, yeah.
So, but a lot of this music's going to work really, really well there. Did you, when you were creating the music,
was it intentional?
Well, no, no, I know it wasn't intentional, but you thought about the project. You were in the other one. You're saying, I'm making something new. You know what the world is about these days. Did you write a song and go, man, you know what? That song's gonna do all sorts of things.
On this record?
Yeah.
On this last one? Yeah, for sure. I you know when you have something kind of special. Like, and you know which ones are your standout ones as you're recording them. There's something that
a lot
like
of people
happens.
Don't.
I think yeah, well, I don't know those people, but I feel like I know, and like when something's happening, I can feel it, and sometimes I get really excited, or if it's just an emotional song, I even like tear up. It's just, you know, when you've hit a nerve kind of, and or it's going to appeal to somebody or reach somebody.
But you also are smart enough to pick an Austra Maya track.
Uh-huh.
Awesome band. So yeah. Tell me a little bit about that choice, because I've played them since day one, and everything they've been doing. Single out, I was on it within seconds.
I'm just a super fan. I think they're excellent. I think they're each talented, and that voice that Katie has is amazing, and Maya's contributions are very evident. You can tell that her programming lifted a lot, and she worked with Trust as well on that first record. Trust is amazing. Have you heard them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, those two records were favorites when they, you know, for that year. I guess it must have been last year. So Yeah, I reached out to her through a mutual friend and she was happy to do it. She did it really quickly and she was really excited to do it and it worked out really well.
Okay, let's solve another one. I love solving things. Mm-hmm. Let's solve the dark thing.
Okay.
Because your previous band was dark, but still it's like, again, the word comes up.
Yeah, dark keeps coming up.
And dark comes up, mm-hmm. but there are sounds in here that you've used that are classic. Dark.
Yeah.
You know, they've been used in a lot of dark songs, mm-hmm. but are these dark songs? Let's solve that one because
no,
I don't think they are, but I
love
it.
If you listen to the lyrics, but sometimes they're kind of hard to make out. I don't want to be, like, I'm never super clear, I guess. I never feel completely like putting it out there. I want people to have their own interpretations of the songs, but I will say that the last band was more brooding probably and kind of like angsty, like early years. And Feathers is thoughtful, kind of, it has its dark corners, but, it has, kind of a light at the end of the tunnel.
You do it.
I just pick kind of what strikes an emotional, like whatever feels great at the moment. Like I never try to think of a package. I really do enjoy records where, you know, it's a pretty consistent package from beginning to end, but I'm, as you can tell, this is kind of all over the place, this record, and I don't really want to adhere to a sound because it wouldn't satisfy.
Well, it's all over the place except for one major thing, which is your voice,
right? So that holds it together.
And in the end, right, for a female vocalist, you're allowed to go anywhere you want to in the songs as long as your vocals provide, right?
Yeah, I think the big picture of the next record, the goal is to just get bigger. And what I mean by bigger is like kind of...
even more layered, more harmonies, more...
more epic sounds if possible. Cool. Or like just like really trying to reach out with like kind of... what's the... anthems. I really like anthems.
I'm big on anthems too, but not like anthems like Journey. Anthems, yeah. Anthems like songs that just really kick it and you go, whoa, this is incredible.
Yeah, or you know, just maybe a little ballsy at times too. I'd like to bring in some more guitar and do that.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich.
Okay.
And what it is two of your songs is the bread.
Okay.
And then a pile of songs by other bands in between.
Okay.